about me, God only knows. And I've got to say, you guys are next in line. No matter what I tell you, you don't love me less. And it shows you are the truest friends of mine. On this narrow road of faith, I don't want to be unwise.
The Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to us. Brother Tim, it's good to have y'all back with us again. And we miss any of you when you're gone, and so we just want to thank the Lord for bringing us all back together. And pretty much everybody's here. I think we've got one person that I see that's missing, but so I feel good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Let's let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles, Romans chapter 7. I did have a prayer request that came in, and I meant to get it written down and just forgot to before service got started. But Brother David D. Leon from Mexico in Saltillo, Mexico, called me a couple of days ago and just kind of let me know where they are on their construction project that we've been helping them with. And he also had a prayer request for a brother in his church. As you know, a lot of in a lot of message churches everywhere, there's a lot of brothers that work in construction, and he has a particular brother in his church by the name of Luis. And this brother, the man that he works for, Luis and two or three other guys actually have a key to his boss's place or whatever, because they work, and I guess they're like supervisors or something, I don't know. But anyway, a bunch of stuff come up missing out of this boss's house, and so they're trying to put the blame on Louise. And of course, you know, I believe that he's not guilty of it. Someone is, but, you know. And so I told Brother David, I said, you know, may the Lord restore this brother. He can take that accusation that's against him, because the man has told him, he said, if you don't return these items, I'm going to make a call and my friends are going to come and visit you. If you know how corrupt they are down there, you know that God needs to help this man. And so I said, you know, God can restore, take that accusation away from him and let that be revealed that it wasn't him. And absolutely, when it's over with, put him in a place of respect that he didn't have prior to this. And I know God is able to do that. So I just, he called and asked that we would just take this need to the Lord in prayer. So we certainly want to do that. God is able to, you know, he rises up kings and he can take them down. And it doesn't matter who's in power and who's in authority, he can certainly deal with it. So we want to just ask the Lord as we pray just in a few moments to undertake for that. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. And she has it on the board here so we can read it. And this is kind of one of these passages of scriptures that might get you tongue-tied if you're not careful.
Yeah.
So we'll just read through it carefully. You forgive me if I get tongue-tied. So this is Paul speaking. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Seems strange, doesn't it? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. How many can kind of associate with Brother Paul what he's saying in here? May the Lord give us just a little bit of a help to be able to get into this a little bit more this morning. I have a couple of quotes I'll read, and then we'll pray, and then you can be seated. This is from God Calls for a Total Separation from Unbelief. Brother Branham says, I used to preach over at the Baptist church a little sermon, and I call it Let Loose and Let God. That's right, just let loose and let God. As long as you got yourself into it, there ain't no way. Do you know who's the biggest enemy I got? William Branham. He's always in God's way. If I can just get him out of the way, then God can go to work. And that's your worst enemy, is yourself. Just get yourself out of the way, and then God can go to work.
Amen.
And then in a sermon called How Can I Overcome? Brother Bram's talking about a little child that says it wants to put its own coat on, and it can't quite do it because it's not old enough to do it, and it needs a parent's help. And he says, see, the little baby keeps trying, and he says, oh, I can do it, I can do it, and he's just everywhere. He can't do it, and neither can you, and neither can I. But if we just hold still and let him do it, talking about God, just yield to him. Here, Lord, here am I. Just let me be nothing, and I yield. You put my hands in the right place. Then that's the victory. That's overcoming. And the thing that you have to overcome is yourself, your ideas, your things, and surrender yourself to him. He overcame for you. He knows the way. We don't.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, as we come to you this morning with faith in our hearts, Lord, that your presence will come and be here among us this morning because you promised. Lord, we want to just move right into the scriptures this morning. We ask God that you would take these things, Lord, that you've put on my heart, these things that we will speak about this morning. We pray, God, that you will quicken them to us, and that, Lord, that you will have said what you want said, and you'll have done what you want done this morning, Lord, and that you would bless your people, and you'd keep us, and lead us, and guide us, and give us strength in this hour, Lord, to fight the enemy that stands before us. We ask, God, that you'd help us this morning in this service to get ourselves out of the way. Lord, that you would be speaker and hearer in your people this morning. We ask, God, that you'd be with us and touch everyone, Lord, that they go away today with the blessing of God in their hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning I want to talk, and you can be seated. I want to talk about overcoming your worst enemy. And I'm going to put a little bit of a subtitle to that. Overcoming your worst enemy, but a subtitle of legalized warfare. Now Paul said, we just read it there in the scriptures, Paul said that when I would do good, evil is present. And I know that you're familiar with that. I'm familiar with that. He said, when I would do good, evil is present. And saints, I can tell you that it'll always be that way. Until we have a body change, there will always be evil present. No matter how good you are, how hard you try, you'll never wake up and find a day that evil is not present. They're trying to hinder you until you have your body change. Right. And at that point, then God's going to take us out of this corruptible body, put us in one that's incorruption, and then we won't have to battle those things anymore. You know, we sit in service, and we, like this morning, we feel the presence of the Lord come down in the singing and in the worship, and oh, if I could do what's in my heart to do, well, there's no telling what I would do. You understand what I'm saying? But flesh is always there holding you back for some reason, even if you don't even know what the reason is. There's always something there just trying to restrain you. Because the flesh didn't get saved when you give your heart to God. The Bible said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So it's not going to. God has to change this before it could ever be there. Because if this went there in that dimension that's beyond sublime, if this went there, it would be an intruder. Right? So God's not even going to try and take this there. He'll change it. And so Paul said that when he would do good, evil would be present. And then we read the quotes where Brother Branham tells us that you are your worst enemy. You are your worst enemy, and what you have to overcome is yourself. That's right. And you know, that sounds simple, but you know what? We can all agree that that's not the simplest thing in the world. As a matter of fact, it's a lifelong battle. It's a lifelong battle, and it's something we got to do every day. We have to overcome our enemies because in warfare, when you've got an enemy standing there, he wants to destroy you. He wants to take you out. So he is in control, and he's the one that prospers, and you're not. And so when we have a daily warfare, that means we have a daily enemy that wants to put you under his foot, put his foot on your neck, and make you servant to him, when really God has said it should be the other way around, that you will be overcome your enemies and put your foot on his neck.
Right.
And so that's exactly what we want to talk about this morning. So now when Brother Branham says you are your worst enemy, and that what you have to overcome is yourself, he's not talking about your soul. I just want to talk about your body, spirit, and soul just for a moment as we go on. And things that we all know, I mean, perhaps some might not know, so we want to talk about it. But you're made up of three. You are your body, you have a spirit, and then down inside there's a soul. And the soul is the real you. And so when Brother Branham says, you're your worst enemy, now I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about born-again believers. Your soul is not what he's talking about, because your soul comes from God. Your soul is a part of God, and it cannot sin. When you read in the little book of John, when it says that he that's born of God doth not commit sin, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That's not talking about your flesh. That's not even talking about your mind, but that's talking about something that is of God. And that's talking about that soul down inside you. When that soul, when it's born of God, it's a deposit of God, and it can't sin. It never has sinned because God's never sinned. You see what I'm saying? So there's one form of eternal life, and that's God. And so if we ever live there, it'll be because we have that in our lives. And so it says he cannot sin because he's born of God. And it also goes on to say, for his, talking about God, his seed remaineth in us, right? And so there's another scripture that says that we are born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, right? We are born of the incorruptible. You take a seed that's incorruptible, and I can give it to you and tell you, do whatever you want to try and make it become a bad seed. You can't do it because it's incorruptible.
Right.
Do everybody understand that? Yes. So you're born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. So what God has placed in you cannot be corrupted. What God has put in you cannot fail because it's God. So when Brother Bram says that you're your worst enemy, he's not talking about that, but he's talking about your flesh and he's talking about your spirit.
Right.
Now, we're all familiar with the quote where whenever you're gathered together, there's three kinds of believers. There's the make believer, there's the unbeliever, and there's the true believer.
Right.
And we understand that. But I know you've heard this, most of you, but what I want to point to this morning to put it all in perspective is that when you come into the house of God, you fulfill that quote right there because your flesh is an unbeliever.
That's right.
Your soul is a make-believer of your spirit, but your soul is the true believer.
Right.
And so your soul will always believe. Your flesh will never believe.
Yeah.
Right? Your flesh will never believe. You'll never have a desire for God in your flesh. And your spirit, your imagination, your conscience, memory, reason, and affection, that's your spiritual man. That guy can lean toward God. He can lean the other way away from God. It just depends what's anointed you, what's in there and taking control of your spirit, what's taking control of your imagination, your conscience, or your memory, reason, and affection. Satan wants to use those. God created you with those things. He gave you a conscience. He gave you all those things. But Satan wants to take a hold of those things and use them for his glory. He wants to get a hold of someone to take him to such a place that their conscience gets seared with a hot iron.
Yeah.
Right? But God made you with it, but it's so it can go either way. It's like the wind, and the scripture talking about spirit being wind. So you can kind of blow this way, and the wind blows that way, you'll go this way. But not the soul.
Right.
The soul is the guy that's rock solid on the Word of God always.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he says that your worst enemy, that's not about your soul, it's talking about your flesh. And it's talking about even your mind if it's not anointed with the Spirit of God. And so there's three kinds of believers, and we fulfill that in ourselves. And so your soul will always be a believer. And you can't make that soul an unbeliever.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And you can't make the flesh a believer.
Right.
You can't do it. And you can't take the Spirit and make him a full-time 100% believer. Right? You can't. He has to be anointed. And that's the only way he'll stay there is as long as he's anointed with the Spirit and the Word of God, then he's leaning in the direction of God. He's leaning in a direction that agrees with what's in your soul as a born-again believer.
Mm-hmm.
But your flesh is putting his feet in the ground all the way. You have to drag him all the time
right. To
make him obey the Word of God. And so Paul is talking about this here. When I would do good, when he in his heart wants to do good, there's something else present there that says, no, you're not going to do it. Right? That's what he's talking about. And so he lays it out there very, very clearly and says, we know that in my flesh, that is in my flesh, there's nothing good. Right? But inside, I delight. Talking about in the soul, inside, I delight in the law of God. So you need to realize that inward soul, man, he's created in an image that agrees with the law of God. Everybody got that? God has a law of righteousness, and that man in the inward heart agrees with that law. He is in that image of the law of righteousness. But you got to realize there's an outward man, and he's in the image of unrighteousness. He's in the image of sin, and he follows the law of sin and death, as we read and we'll read. Everybody got that? So Your flesh will never be a believer. Never can. And we shouldn't marvel whenever our flesh, we get up every day and we find out our flesh is still against us. I get discouraged. You get discouraged because you want to serve God. You have a desire in your heart to absolutely walk with God 100% of the time, 24/7.
Yeah.
You want to walk with Him and you want to please Him 100% of the time. Never fail Him. Never fall short of the glory of God. Ever. Isn't that what's in your heart?
Amen.
But most of the time, this other guy's there in the way, keeping you from doing what you actually desire in your heart to do. And God does know your heart. And a lot of people will come along and say, well, he knows your heart, so he don't care if you dabble in all this other stuff. We're going to cover that in just a little bit, because if there's got to be a battle going on there. Your flesh is not saved. It'll always want to do the things that are wrong. But there's got to be a battle going on here. And Paul is talking about this. That when I would do good, evil is present. There's always something there that's trying to keep me from serving God and doing the things that I want to do. And I can see that. I can associate that with that, because I have to fight that battle every day. And so do you. If you're a born again Christian. If you don't have a battle. If you don't have a fight inside you. Then you better get to the altar. Amen? And so that's the way it is. So we shouldn't marvel when we wake up in the morning. You wake up tomorrow and you want to serve God and your flesh jumps up there in the way. You want to pray and it says you ain't got time.
Right.
Don't let that discourage you. Don't marvel. And what I'm trying to say there is, don't ever look to your flesh to think he's ever going to try and fulfill the law of God, because he's not going to do it.
Amen.
He's not going to do it. So you shouldn't marvel at that. You shouldn't go, I can't believe it. I prayed through last night. I touched God last night. My prayer calls him. What's this guy today here standing before me? Don't marvel at that. That's his lot.
Yeah.
That's his way. He's supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? He can't do anything different than that. That's like all this stuff overseas. Ishmael is a wild man. His hand is against every man's hand. You can't tame him. You can't talk sense to those people over there, because they're Ishmael's seed. The best thing our government could do is to make that realization. Quit messing with these people, trying to negotiate with them, because they will stab you in the back. Because that's who they are. And this guy will always stab you in the back. Put no confidence in him. Don't look to him to fulfill nothing but sin and death. Because that's all he's going to do.
Amen.
He can't do anything else. Just follow after the law of sin and death.
Yeah.
So we don't want to look to our flesh to fulfill the law of God. We don't even want to look to our spirit to fulfill it, really. We got to connect to that which is down inside that always believes God. Even in your deepest trial, when you're doubting with your mind that God is going to help you, something down inside is be still and know that I'm God. You know he's God and you know he can move.
Amen.
And you still believe him and you still trust him. Like that woman whose baby died over there in Germany. And the United States Army, the military, had an airplane set aside to take Brother Branham over there, because people were prophesying, saying that Brother Branham was going to lay his hands on that baby and it's going to bring brought back to life. And so they kept pressing him, calling. The mother was calling Brother Branham, wanting him to come and pray. And he said, well, wait, let me see what God says about this. Because there's been many resurrections. And they knew that. They knew that Brother Branham could come. If he would do that, then that baby would be resurrected. But it didn't make no difference what all the people were saying. Brother was saying, let me talk to God. Let me find out. And he had to wait. He had to wait several hours all through the night next day. Finally, that pillar of fire came in the room and said, don't you touch it. That's the hand of God. Let that baby go. So he called the woman on the phone. He said, don't touch it, sister. That baby's in the hands of God. Leave it there. Said, you know, if you brought it back, something, you don't know what might happen to it. So leave it alone. And later on, he was talking to the woman. And she said, Brother Branham, is it because I didn't have great faith? And Brother Branham said, no, you have great faith. We would look at it and the devil would try to tell you, oh, you don't have great faith because it would have happened. Your baby would have been resurrected. Brother Branham said, no, you have great faith because God told you no and you still love him and serve him.
Amen.
That's my punchline of why I'm telling you that story. God will tell you no and you still serve him and you still love him anyway.
Amen.
Because something down inside knows he's God.
Yes.
When Brother Branham was there and his wife was laying in the morgue and now his baby's dying and suffering so hard that her eyes are crossing.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
All because he had disobeyed God. And Satan come there and talked to him and said, didn't you say God's a good God? Didn't you say he's a good God? You're out here and you preached all, worked all day and then preached all night, come in at 2 o'clock in the morning, get up and do it the next day, week after week, year after year, praying for all the sick. God's done all these things in all your ministry. And now when you need it, when you need God, He's turning, pulling a black sheet down on you, won't even listen to your prayer. And Brother Bam said, Satan began to talk to him, and he said, you know what? He was right. Satan was talking him out of it, see? Because if you want to get on the grounds of reason, Satan will talk you out of it every time.
That's right.
You can't reason with him. You got to go to the Word. And Brother Branham said, the prophet of the age, he said, Satan was beginning now, and he said, you know what? I'm going to say, you know what? If God's going to be that way, I'm not going to serve him. Because he was listening to the devil. And he said, just about the time I went to say that, he said, something way down on the inside spoke up. Something that goes beyond all this gray matter and all that Satan can tell you in your mind and all that. Something else spoke up and said, God gives, God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And Brother Ram said, oh, if it hadn't have been for that something down on the inside of the inside.
Yes, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, if it wasn't for that. And we'll find ourselves in that place.
Yes.
And that's what it's there for, on tape, for us to listen. Listen, you need to be in these tapes. You need to listen to what God play out in this man's life, because it's a stronghold for us. It's a tie post for us.
Yes.
When you don't even know which way is up, God can speak to you and he'll bring to remembrance. See, your prophet went through this, and I'll do the same for you.
Yeah.
When you find yourself in an hour, when you can't make heads or tails in your own mind, something down on the inside will still believe God.
Amen.
And that's what we have to come to.
Amen.
We have to come to that place. And so we don't want to look to the flesh. We want to tie to that guy.
Yes.
Tie to that inward man. He's the one that's going to make it work out, because he's the one that's of God.
Amen.
Nothing else. Now don't get me wrong. When I say, don't let that bother you, the fact that you wake up every day and your flesh is fighting you. Don't let that bother you. I want to go back to what I mentioned a while ago, is that there should always be a groaning in you.
Yeah.
Always a groaning and a crying for that righteousness be fulfilled in your flesh. And so every time your flesh falls short, there ought to be something crying out that's seeking God, wanting that to be in subjection.
Yes.
There should always be something crying out, wanting to fulfill the righteousness of God in your life. There's always got to be that way. And there must be those two dogs.
Yes.
Must be. For those who do not know the story, an old Indian guy out on the reservations out there. He didn't know much. But somebody talked to going to one of the meetings, and he got saved. And he didn't know. I think he just said, God fixed me or whatever. But anyway, he was, they said, well, they come by and see him a little later and said, well, chief, since you gave your heart to the Lord, how you doing? He said, well, I'm doing good and I'm doing bad. They said, well, I don't know, what do you mean good and bad? He said, well, in me is two dogs. Now, he's just an old Indian guy out on a reservation. He said, in me is two dogs. One of them's a black dog, and one of them's a white dog. Mm-hmm. Right? One's a black, one's a white. And he said, those two dogs are just all the time fighting and growling and snarling at one another. Because one's white, one's black.
Yeah.
Pretty simple, huh? And they said, well, chief, which one of the dogs wins? And the chief said, it depends on which one the chief feeds most.
Yeah, right.
And there it is.
Yeah.
There it is, right there. What we're talking about today. Depends on which one of those dogs you feed most is going to determine out which one wins. But my point about saying that about these two dogs is, there must be a struggle in you. There must be a white dog and a black dog that's fighting, because they oppose each other. If they're not fighting, then they're in agreement.
Yeah. Right?
Right? There's got to be. And we know we're in a flesh, and until God liberates us from the flesh, this flesh, it produces the black dog.
Yeah.
But our born-again experience produces the white dog. So there's got to be a fuss and a fight, and you continually struggling over good and evil all the time. If you don't have that, get to the altar.
Amen.
Talk to God. Because God, you've got the black dog, you're born with it. But God's the only one that can put the white dog in you.
Yeah.
And so when you get that experience and that white dog is placed within inside of you, when that happens, it's not all easy games after that. It's a continual fight and battle for the rest of your life until God takes you home and gives you a body change. That's how it is. So it must be. Now, I want to point out something here. There has to be a balance. If God had given you nothing but the white dog and he'd have killed the black dog and he wasn't even around and the white dog was sitting here and he never had anything to fight, he never had any reason to rise up and do anything, that white dog would just get ever so weak. If you don't exercise, if you don't get up and do something, you become mush. They take people and put them on the moon. They can't stay up there or in outer space. They can't stay there very long. They're very limited how long they can stay there because that gravity is not there the way it is here. Because every day of your life, there's gravity here. And in order for you to do anything, you have to rise up and resist that gravity. It does more than just hold you on the ground. But that gravity is there, and it keeps you toned. And if you just lay there and do nothing, you become mush. And even if you did do stuff, if you didn't have gravity fighting against you, you'd become mush. So there has to be the other guy that's in opposition. God knows this. That's why he didn't take away your flesh desire. He'll deal with it someday. But he didn't take it from you because it's there for a purpose and it brings balance to you. Because you as a believer know this, that you're only happy and you're only at peace when you're in the presence of God. And when this other guy is out trying to do sin and trying to be contrary to the law of God, you're grieved in your heart and it bothers you.
Yeah.
And you can't rest as long as this guy's trying to be evil.
Yeah.
Right? And that guy that's evil is actually strapped to your back.
Yeah.
You can't get away from him. And so your heart wants to do good, but this guy's always there. So you got to fight every day. Fight, fight, fight.
Right.
Or you become mush in your spiritual walk.
Amen.
It's the way it is. God knows what he's doing. So there has to be a balance. Otherwise we become weak and ever so just nothing. Now Paul said something there. I hope this doesn't get me tongue-tied here or get me all mixed up in what I'm trying to say here, or you mixed up. But Paul says, I find a law. I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present. Now, a law is a legal document setting forth rules governing a particular activity. Right? When you have a law, and that's talking about the law of the land, you know what? Our Congress makes laws. Not Supreme Courts. Supreme Courts can't make laws unless they can dupe the people and make the people believe they can. But if the people know their rights, they'll know that Congress has to make a law, not the Supreme Court. Then once Congress makes a law, Supreme Court can uphold it. Amen? But once that law is put in place by the governing body, now that law actually dictates the activities of its subjects, right? So when we're talking about law, it's a legal document that sets forth the rules of a particular kind of activity. That's a law, right? And so that's a law, and Congress makes laws. You know what? Even the president's, what they call executive orders, you've got to have balance. You've got to have balance in any government system, because if you don't have balance, whatever the persuasion is, you go that way in extreme. And you might have somebody else go the other way in extreme. You've got to have a body of people that are standing there and some kind of lean this way and some kind of lean this way, but it brings balance. That way, this guy can't run off and change all the laws and put the people in bondage because you got this other governing body that says you can't do that. And vice versa.
Yeah.
So it should not be that the president could make executive orders and put anything in place without the entire governing body and all the balances that they all agree. Everybody understand that? I'm giving you a lesson in scriptures today also, but I hope it helps you to look at the landscape of what's going on politically and know what to do and what's going on and what's happening to your rights. And so, talking about the law, So it's a legal document. And I'm not trying to tell you necessarily, but I mean, God does have legal documents, right? But a law governs these activities. So in this passage of Scripture we read, there's three laws mentioned here. Three different laws. One of them, Paul says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, right? So there's a law of God. So there's a governing decision about the law of God. And the Scripture is telling us it's after the inward man is in that image of that law, or that law is after that inward man. We just read it, okay? So there's an established legal binding document, as it were, that says the nature of this inward man matches the nature of God's law. Yeah. Everybody follow that? There's a law there. Right? So Paul said, I find there's a law that says, I delight after the law of God in the inward parts. And then he says, then there's a law in our members. So there's a law in the members or in the flesh that opposes the law of God. So there's a legal binding, something that dictates, that says your flesh is contrary to the word of God because there's a law in that flesh that dictates that. Everybody understand that? So you've got something inside you that dictates that the man inside wants God, but you've got another law on the outside that dictates, and it's the law of the land. In the flesh, the law of the land is to be contrary to God.
Yeah.
Right? But if you look over in the other realm and you look in the family of God, you look in the heart, there's another law that establishes and said, we follow after the things of God. Two different laws. So that's the first two. And then the third law is this. Paul said, when I would do good, I find a law that when I would do good, evil's present. So there's another law that's there that says that that evil side has the right to oppress you. You see it? That flesh is there to fight you for a reason. Because God knows what He's doing. He'll liberate us someday. Paul talks about it. He'll save me from the body of this death. Right? But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. So victory is ours because we know that we're going to be liberated someday. But meanwhile, this guy has a right to fight against you. He has a right to do that. So it's legal. It's a legal situation. It's legal for your flesh. Your flesh has a right before God to come and accuse you. Your flesh has a right before God to come and hound you every day and try to hinder you as you try to move and work for God. There's also a law, and it's a legal right for the spiritual man inside to absolutely hate the things of the flesh. Right? There's a law of God, and it's absolutely legal. It's legal, Brother Daniel. It's legal for us in our side, in our Christian walk, to absolutely hate the fact that our flesh is what it is.
Right.
To hate the sin and corruption. It's actually legal for us to do that, to sigh and cry. This is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because in that realm, that's all we can do. Because why? There's a law of God that dictates it and says that's who we are.
Yeah.
But in the flesh, there's another law that says, you chase after the world. You be a sinful man. That's what that law says.
Yeah.
Two different laws. And then a third law that says, those things have a right to fight against each other. So it's legalized warfare. Because there's a law. It's been passed. It's been approved. Right here. So Paul called it, said it was a law to fight against each other. So the battle really between the two is to see who's gonna get the most control over you. To see what's going to be manifested out of your life each day. That's what it is. And so, let's go to Romans chapter 8. And let's read for a while in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. If we walk in the flesh, we're going to find this. If we walk after this evil flesh and walk by that law, then it's death.
Right.
But if we walk toward the righteousness of God, then it's life and it's peace and all the good things there. So for the person, now this is starting off talking about the person who's walking after the law of God, who's born of the Spirit of God. This is what it's talking about. There is, therefore, now no condemnation. How many would like to walk without being condemned?
Amen.
No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, don't cater to it,
right,
make no provisions for it, tell it no,
yep,
who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You'll never have this kind of situation in your life until we learn to walk in the Spirit of God and not after the flesh. We've got to learn how to say no to the flesh.
Amen.
Okay, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, so there's a law of the Spirit of life, of Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now let's stop just for a moment right there. This law of the Spirit of life of Christ, this is what we're talking about, that law in the inward man. Right? And then here he talks about the law of sin and death, which is in your members, in your flesh. The law of sin and death, the curse and everything is on that, but that curse is no longer on your soul who delights in the law of God. So a person who's walking after the things of God, there's no condemnation to that person. Why? We'll go on to see to find out that because the outward man is dead. Dead. In other words, he tries to tell you, oh, don't you want a drink today, a drink of alcohol today? And you don't even hear it. Because he's dead. You actually do hear it because you're in a warfare, but you understand what I'm saying. He says all he wants and he's dead to you. Why? Because he has no control over you. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if the righteousness that the Old Testament law couldn't attain to because it was the blood of bulls and goats and all that, but that righteousness is fulfilled here in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, in this being fulfilled in us, if we're walking after the Spirit. And that's capital S, that's Holy Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, think about this. Flesh wants more flesh. Spirit, capital Spirit, wants more Spirit. The Spirit of God in you wants more of the family. He wants to feed on the Word of God. He wants the things of God. He wants to talk about God. He wants to think about the kingdom of heaven. But flesh wants more flesh.
That's
right. So, adultery wants more adultery. Thief wants more thieving. You understand what I'm saying? That's the way it works. Because they are what their desire is. See? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Remember what it said in the days of Noah? God destroyed the earth because man's his entire thinking, his entire conversation, everything about him continually was evil. Wow. Sounds like the generation we live in.
Yeah.
Well, if their imagination was continually evil, and he had to destroy him, well, if it's come that way again, what do you think's fixing to happen? Because man's mind is continually evil. There's no such thing, hardly, as a decent, clean joke.
Yeah.
That's right. There's got to be something filthy in it all the time. So we don't listen to that. So someone after the flesh, they like those things, but someone after the Spirit, they have no appetite for that. It's some of the most awkward things, awkward positions for me. We have some salespeople come in, or some business people, somebody high up in the company come in, they got some project, and we wind up maybe having to go to lunch or something like that, or have some meeting, and here's some guy in a suit, and he makes some wise, filthy joke. And everybody in the room is laughing about it, but me. Because you don't have a desire for those things. Wherein I used to, because I was born that way. But God put a white dog in me. Right? God put a white dog in me, and he don't like that stuff.
Amen.
See? So you just have to sit there and just say, you know, I'm not going to be part of that.
Yeah.
And so what? They mind the things of the flesh. You know, they like those things, but they that are spirit, they don't like those things. They follow after the things of the spirit. Let's go to the next verse. For to be carnally minded is death. If we mind the things of the flesh, the carnality, that's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you want peace in your everyday activities, don't chase after, follow after the things of the flesh. Now, you know what? If you've got the white dog in you, I don't have to tell you that.
Right.
You know that automatically. You know automatically what grieves the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you. But I stand here and show you the Word and show you that the Scriptures agree with that spirit that's in you. And you ought to be happy because you can say, you know what? I've got that white dog. And what he wants is agreeing with what Brother Tony's showing me. Therefore, I'm a believer. Get out of my way, Satan.
Amen.
That's the way it should work, see? That's what this is all about. We come to the house of God to reconfirm what's in our walk.
Yeah.
And to reveal things that maybe if there's something wrong, God takes care of that. And so to have life and peace. Let's go to the next one. Because the carnal mind, now here's what we were talking about a while ago. The carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Your flesh is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. You can't make it subject to the law of God.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's got another law. You can't make Russia obey by American laws because it's another land, another law. Or vice versa. So you can't make the flesh. You got to make the flesh obey. You understand that? But you can't change the flesh and make the flesh go, oh, I was wrong all this time. Now I'm going to serve God. Your flesh won't do that.
Yeah.
Everybody understand that? Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Uh-oh. If we mind the things of the flesh, you'll never please God. You cannot please God. If we want to please God, we've got to say no to the flesh and move toward the things of God. Then you'll start pleasing God. Amen? But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Think about that. People will say they are of Christ, but if you have not the Spirit of Christ in you, then you don't belong to Him.
Yeah.
Simple. If I looked around the room and said, where is Daniel Black? All I have to do is search until I find the place where his spirit is.
Yeah.
And that's Daniel Black, because that's where his spirit lives. Where's Christ? I have to find, here he is, because he's living there.
Yeah.
But if he's not, you go, oh, he's not here. You see what I'm saying? If you're Christ, then that means that spirit has to be there. And that is the spirit of eternal life. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So now it's not telling you just because as soon as Christ comes in, your body drops dead. It's a different kind of dead we're talking about. But what does it say? The spirit of life of Christ in you causes the nature of the flesh to be subdued to the Spirit of God. As I said a while ago, he's like a dead person. Even though he's there, he has no control over you. That's the situation that God is providing for us through the Spirit of God, through feeding on the Word. You can make that black dog or that flesh be dead. So if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. So, you know, you take a person that's dead, and they're dead because their spirit's not there. You put the Spirit in them now their flesh is animated. Now they're alive. See what we call alive, right? And so if
That spirit is in you. You might be a dead person, dead, living the things of the flesh, living after the world. But if the spirit of Christ comes in you, now it animates your flesh to be living and not dead. Not doing the things of the world, but doing the things of righteousness. Amen? So if it's in there, it will quicken your mortal bodies by that spirit. That spirit is what does it.
Amen?
Amen? Let's go. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. There it is. Being led by the Spirit of God. He's a Holy Spirit, not a filthy spirit. And to be a son of God means you're led by that Spirit. Amen. And so we see here, the battle is over who wants to manifest their lives in you, and it certainly tells what's going on inside you. Like you remember Brother Ram said, I don't care what a man says, what his testimony is. If I walk into his office and he's got a bunch of pinups, I don't believe his testimony.
Right.
That's right. They can say what they want, but when they start cracking them filthy jokes, you know they don't know Christ.
Amen.
You know, as a church, non-profit, entity of the state or whatever, you know, you can't be involved in politics, and I'm not telling you what to do. But I would think that if a man who was running for president, who they think is a born-again Christian, and he says he's a born-again Christian, I would think that if they ask him, what's your favorite scripture, he would be happy to share his favorite scriptures, rather than say, well, that's personal. Because you, as a born-again Christian, you want to tell people what speaks to you out of the Word, right? You're happy to tell. That's what you're all about.
Yeah.
That only tells me that he was caught off guard.
Yeah.
Right? He should be able to say, well, I'll tell you what my favorite scripture is. If nothing else, it could be at least John 3:16.
Yeah.
Right? But I like that what we just read. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Romans 8:1. Right? For by one Spirit you're baptized into one body. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13. You should be able to do that. See? And so that's just how it is. So we find out there's something that we have to do here. Jesus Christ paid the price for you to live with Him eternally, but your victory in this earth is something you have to do.
That's right.
When I say you have to do it, that means you have to take what He has given to you and use it. You've got to use it. It's the tools He has given you. You've got to use it. He's given you His Holy Spirit. You've got to take that Holy Spirit and cause it to rise up in you and condemn the flesh.
Amen.
And tell that flesh no. The Bible, we just read it. You've got to mortify the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. You know what mortify is? You know when you have the big concrete truck? Those that have been around construction, they call that mortar. Because when it's all falling and all that, but you let it set for a while and it hardens, it becomes mortified.
Yeah.
That's not living anymore. It's not moving. You see what I'm saying? So we have to mortify the deeds of the flesh by the capital S-P-I-R-I-T, Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? So mortify by that Spirit, as we just read there. So we have to do that. And I think we read that scripture, mortify the deeds of flesh by the Spirit. So what do you got to do? Every day when you get up, you got to hold a shotgun to His head, to your flesh. Not literally, but you understand what I'm saying. You got to hold a gun to His head and say, listen up. You're going to go where I want you to go. You're going to do what I want you to do. You're going to raise your hands when I say you raise your hands in praise. You're going to pray when I say pray. You're going to look the other way when I say look the other way. You're going to do these things because I'm holding a shotgun to your head. You mortify the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit of God. And you know why you have to hold a shotgun to His head? Because your flesh, that's the only thing He understands, is brute force.
Yeah, right.
And I'm saying that because he is not subject to the law of God. He's another nation, and we got to go in and attack him and make him obey us. Because that's all you can use to make him, because he's you can't convert him. You can't make him become born again. There's no avenue for it. So the only thing you can do is force him as a servant underneath you, as a slave, to do what you need done. You got to hold him at that. But you know what? He'll never obey you until you force him to obey you. It'll never happen. It'll never happen if you don't force him. It's like a teeter totter in the graveyard, in the playground. There's a lot of stuff goes through a minister's head up here whenever you understand Brother Daniel's shaking his head. The playground. A teeter totter. Flesh, spirit. It'll never be this way. It's always this way or that way. If you want the Spirit of God to be up and strong, you got to put the flesh down.
Yep.
There's a scripture I was looking for a while ago. I didn't get it up in a time, but it says, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Yep. Against the soul. Not your flesh. Fleshly lust doesn't war against the flesh. It's what the flesh wants. But abstain from it. Why? Because if you dabble in those things, it wars against your experience and your soul. I must have said something else funny, but you understand what it's saying. And so it's like that teeter totter or whatever they call it. I typed that on my computer as a note and it was misspelled. How do you spell teeter totter? But anyway, it got it right for me somehow there out of the spell check. But it's like that teeter-totter. If you want the Spirit of God to thrive in your life, you've got to say no to the flesh.
Yes.
You cannot always give that flesh what it wants. You know what? I'm going to get over in a little carnal side here just for a minute. But if you want your flesh to be healthy, you got to tell it no at the table sometime. You got to tell it no to the ice cream at night.
Right.
And I'm talking to myself, see? I see the brother's green, but it's true. If you want your flesh, if you want to be healthy, you got to say no to those things. When the flesh is saying, oh, it won't hurt, just one more night, just one more bowl of ice cream, one more time with a little bit of peanut butter to go with it, just one more time, it won't hurt. It won't hurt. Isn't that what the flesh is?
That's right.
Just one more time. It does hurt. Little foxes, one day at a time, it does matter. And these little things, well, it won't hurt. It will hurt. It won't hurt just to look just a little longer. It will hurt.
Yes. Amen.
Right? It does. Well, I'll go ahead and listen to something a little. No, it does matter.
Amen.
Because you want the Spirit of God up there. You've got to make that flesh be. Because if you're feeding that, you're feeding that black dog. Guess what? It does this. And the next thing you know, he's on the mountain. The black dog's on the mountain. And you wish you could get back up there. You know what? It's harder to get back the other way than it was to go backwards. You understand what I'm saying? I hope anybody listening to a recording can understand what I'm saying here. But you get that teeter-totter to go in the direction where the black dog is on top. It's harder to get the white dog back on top than it was to get him on bottom to begin with. And so that's the way it is. It's like you want to be strong in the spirit, you've got to be weak in the flesh. Through weakness, he's made strong,
right,
said Christ to Paul. Now that was not necessarily, you know, it still applies to sinful things, but that was also, Paul had something in his flesh there that we think probably was eyesight, that he was a messenger of the age, and he had praying for the sick and all these things happening, but probably had bad eyesight, and God did not heal him, and he went to God and said, Lord, three times he asked the Lord to take it away from him, and the Lord said, no. My grace is sufficient. I can get you through this, Paul. Even though you're out here with a ministry that's doing great things, but it seems to some that you're not even partakers of your own ministry sometime, because if you're out here and people's being healed and dead raised and all this kind of stuff, and here you are with eyesight problems, if your God was true, why wouldn't he heal you?
So he sought God, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient. I'll get you through this, Paul. Because through your weakness, I'm strong. So there had to be some sort of something there to oppress, to keep Paul at bay there. Because as long as Paul had to deal with that, it made him cry out to God. It made him seek God more. It made him stronger in the spirit because he had something to fight against. Everybody understand that? And that's us. If we don't fight, saints, if we're not fighting continually, fighting every day, give flesh a hard time. If we're not doing that, our spiritual walk is suffering greatly. We've got to destroy that guy. We've got to hold that shotgun to his head every day and tell him, you're not going to leave my life. I'm living for Almighty God. My eyes are going to glorify God. My speech is going to glorify God. My feet, my hands, my thoughts are going to glorify God. You're not going to be used for something else. But it'll only happen when we make it happen. And so when we die, just about five more minutes, when we die out to flesh, then is when we commune with God. Look at the teeter-totter. When we die out to flesh, we're automatically in the presence of God more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When it's the other way around, you're automatically out of the presence of God. Condemnation. But there's no condemnation who walk in Christ, because you're up here, see?
Yeah.
But when you're down like that, now you've got condemnation. You feel like God's a million miles away from you. Right? So we got to learn what it is that keeps us in His presence and keeps us, Him working through us, and keep those things moving, destroy those fleshly things. So he says, if we die out to the flesh, then we can commune with God. Now, what's a good example of that? Prayer. Prayer. You go to pray, and the flesh is there in the way. My big problem is that when I'm trying to pray, unless I'm up walking around and actually praying, if I try to just quietly pray, you know, kneel somewhere, then next thing you know, my mind drifts off to something else. So some people wonder why sometimes when saints come in, I'm walking and praying in here because that I have to battle it that way. I have to battle it that way because if I get still, then my, you know, so I have to be more fervent. We gotta run this program around here. Get this thing. You know, you can't just lay around, well, we'll serve God at home and stream. No, get out there, go to church, be fervent, be on fire for God.
Yeah.
Do it and do it right, do it with fervency.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is with your prayer. If you find out you can't get victory, why? I know a guy that couldn't get victory in reading his Bible. He gets sleepy all the time. You know what he did? He got his Bible, he went in and stood on the sides of the bathtub up high and read his Bible there because he knew if he went to sleep what had happened. He got serious about it. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what I'm talking about. We got to be serious. We can't play around with this thing no more. It's our enemy. It's costing us too much. Got to put him under. You can't use political persuasion and all kinds of this and sanction that and all that. You go obliterate him.
Yes.
It's the only thing that works with something that you can't touch with God.
Amen.
And you'll never touch this with God. There's a people that can't be touched with God.
That's right.
And you can't deal with them. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not an advocate for going out and hurting people and like that. You understand? I'm just saying these are principles. There's a principle in the Bible about Ishmael. There's principles. And this world is in a mess because our government and all the governments of the world don't adhere and listen to what the Bible is saying about these things. Because if you deal with these things the way the Bible said, you wouldn't have the troubles. And if we would deal with them in our life the way the Bible says, you won't have to deal with it. So prayer is a good example. When you get in their closet and you fight that flesh, and you finally break through. We call it praying through. You finally break through, and now you're in a channel, and the flesh is not bothering you so much, even though it's still there trying to get you stopped. But now you know you're talking to God. That teeter-totter just went whoosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
The flesh is down here, and now you're up high in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You go to bed, and you wake up the next morning, and guess what? Boom. That teeter-totter went the other direction overnight. What do you got to do? You got to get it flipped the other way again.
Amen.
And you know what? It don't flip itself.
That's right.
And God don't reach down with a great big arm and pick that teeter-totter up and flip it back the other way He said, I left that for you to do.
Yeah.
Here's my tools, and you can do it, and you can do it every time.
Yeah.
Every time. But it'll never happen if you don't do it. So he leaves that with you. Now, here's a concept I want to leave with you. And this is a quote from, who is this Melchizedek? When you break through and destroy flesh, you're automatically propelled into the presence of God. Now listen to this quote. Who is this Melchizedek? And this was one of the mysteries of the age. Who's this Melchizedek? What's he here? What's it all about? What's our arrangement with? Well, the arrangement with Melchizedek was that when he come down to those who had won victory. And he gave bread and wine to those who won victory.
Yeah.
Come on, Abraham. We're going to read it. He gives, this is a mystery, saints, and I'm telling you, if we'll enter into this mystery of what we're talking about here, if you'll learn to know how to interact with Melchizedek, how to get that bread and wine from Melchizedek, you'll be much better off. That's what I'm talking about. We gotta have that bread and wine from Melchizedek, which we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. But in our day, who is this Melchizedek? Not that one. So he's present now to do something. Why? Because there's a whole age of people who's had to become victorious overcomers. And he's here now for an entire age to give to them that bread and wine, which is to eat that supper with them, which he said he wouldn't do again until, right? Till that kingdom he sits down. So here we are. We got to learn how to do this. We got to learn how to get this thing to work. And so he's talking about Abraham. When Abraham went to fight on behalf of his brother, Lot, his nephew, he called him his brother too in the Bible actually, but his nephew Lot, he went and delivered Lot who had been taken captive. A man who had disagreed with Abraham, but yet Abraham went on his behalf when that man had gotten in trouble. He went and rescued that man, and on his way back, Melchizedek came and met him. And gave Abraham bread and wine, which was a type of communion, which was Last Supper, which is what we're going to do at the end. Right? Everybody follow that? So here's this quote. Brother Branham said, who is this Melchizedek? He said, notice after the battle was over, talking about Abraham, Melchizedek served his victorious child communion. Think of that. Part of himself. When he gives you of communion, he was giving of himself. When Christ gives you bread and wine, it's of himself. Because the bread is the word. The spirit, or the wine, is the spirit. Everybody follow that? So, he said, now, we want to see here in type here, in this is view, the communion. We want to view the communion. And after the battle, he gave of himself. Because the communion is part of Christ. Everybody follow that? Christ gives you of himself after you battle. And so he says, and after the struggle is over, after you've done, got yourself whipped out, then is when you partaker of Christ become part of this being. So not only is this he given you of himself, but when you partake of that, you become part of that being. Right. Because you are what you eat, right?
Yeah.
So if you're all the time eating fleshly stuff, stuff that caters to the flesh, that's not glorifying God, even if it's not filthy, but just not glorifying God, if you're always eating that, what's happening? But if you're always feeding on the things of God, what happens? So here it is. It's Melchizedek. He's here, and he's looking for victorious children. And as they are become victorious, he automatically gives to them bread and wine, gives of himself, they become part of him. And this is a daily thing you can have and must have.
Yep.
By dying out, destroying the flesh, you automatically, by whipping yourself out, as the quote said, when you whip yourself out, now you receive of heaven.
Yes.
It's just called walking in the Spirit. It's called warfare. That's all it is. That's all it is just warfare. Amen. One last quote. God in simplicity. Remember the story about the man that was all haughty. He went up to preach. He had all of his, you know, and he fell flat on his face and he walked down all.
Yeah.
And the man told him, said, if you'd have went up the way you came down, you'd have came down the way you went up.
Yeah.
Brother Rem's talking about that.
as the old saint up there in Chicago, that fellow went up with his, all of his education and things, and he'd come down all whipped out, his head down, walking in defeat. And he said, if you'd have went up the way you come down, you'd have come down the way you went up. And Brother Brim said, well, that's right. See? Humble yourself. Just be humble and don't try to be peculiar. Just love Jesus. And say, Lord, if there is any guile in my heart, if there's anything wrong, Father, I don't want to be like that. You take it away. I don't want to be like that. And oh, I want to be numbered as one of them on that day. And Lord, I see that day approaching. Amen. Don't try to be peculiar. Don't try to be anything. You just be a humble Christian. Love Jesus. Follow the Word. But walk in the Spirit. Use this tool of destroying the flesh to stay in the Spirit of God. And then let God do the rest of it. Right? Can't put your hand in that. You know, I have a new body I need to clothe myself with. And I'm trying, you know, and I'm trying to do this and that. And I can't do it. Father, you got to put this garment on me. Right? And he'll do it. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Amen. Ask that everyone bow their heads, bow their hearts. I know that what I've said this morning is probably just, I would say, probably just as much nail on the head as possibly could be for each one of us. But with every head bowed, I just want to ask each one of you that if you would like, of course, gravity says that your hand has to stay down, but when your hand is lifted, it shows a choice down inside. If you would just like to show the Lord, which he knows your heart, but just put it into action by lifting your hand and say, Lord, I need help with what Brother Tony has told us this morning. I raise my hand, Lord, to show you, and I'm raising my hand. I want to be more victorious. Lord, I'm asking for your help. I don't want to be like this, as the quote said. I don't want to be like this, Lord. If there's anything, any guile, anything wrong, Lord, take it away from me. I don't want to be this way. I want to please you, Lord. I want to be there on that day in that number. Lord, I realize if I've got something in me that's not like you, it can't go. So, Lord, take it from me. If you would just raise your hand and say, Lord, help me, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning, Lord. We love you because of your word that you have so much and so graciously poured out upon us in this day to help us see and understand things, Lord, that perhaps millions of people would desire to understand and probably don't. You've been merciful and gracious to us, Lord, to send us a great message in this hour. We could all be out there just in some denominational system, just thinking that is right. We could be out in the world. There's so many places, Lord, but you've chosen to cause our pathway to come across the living word. Lord, we thank you for it, and we want that living word. We want to pick it up and just bring it right into our hearts. And we ask, God, that that would begin to live through us each day in ways like we've never seen before. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each one, Lord, every hand that was lifted. I pray, God, I don't know who they were, Lord, because my head was bowed too, but I pray, God, that you would help each one become more victorious, that they would remember this, that they heard this morning, Lord. Maybe go back and listen to it again. And Lord, find strength as they destroy and fight against the flesh. You'll always meet them there, and I pray, God, that they find that to be the case. And Lord, when we need to go somewhere, we found out that there's something that works. When we go out, we just stick our keys in the ignition and we start the car and it takes us to town. May we find, Lord, that as we say no to our flesh, it's just like that. That Lord, it just propels us into your presence. We know it works that way. And I pray, God, that your people will become victorious in greater ways as they put in action these things that we've talked about this morning. Lord, we just need your presence in such a greater way now. Ask that you'd help us now as we end this service, Lord, that you'd let every heart be clear, every conscience be clear, Lord, as we leave this place. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Let's worship the Lord just for a moment if you want to stand.
I hunger still, oh, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. More of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. Oh, empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Yes, more of you, more of you. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you.
The way you feel.
Amen.
I want more of Him. I don't need more of anything this world has to offer. I just need more of Him. Amen. Closer walk with Him. You know, I believe the saints of God will rule this world someday. Amen. Is that what the Bible tells us? God is all about being faithful with small things. Then taking you to the bigger things. It's all about that. That's part of His program. We do that with our children. It's a good practice. It's not a good practice to give them great big things without letting them earn with the little things. But if we know that saints are going to judge this entire earth, this whole universe is going to be under higher control. The saints of God are going to take it over, says the prophet, says the word. That's going to be that way. Don't you think that God wants us first to be faithful with a little bit of this earth? A little bit of this earth first. A little bit of the earth in our homes first. A little bit in our own assembly first. You understand the concept? So, saints, what I said to you this morning is not... it's not an option. It's a requirement. It's a requirement. We must come to this controlling of our own fleshly desires and the things that war against the kingdom of God. And we all might want to try to put a halo on our head and say, well, he's not talking about me, but I am. I'm talking about all of us. Because we've got to come to that place. And listen, it's close. See? And so we want to be faithful with the small things. Like David, he won victories. I've said this many times. Hope you don't get tired of hearing it. But he won victories on the backside of the desert with a lion.
with a bear. Nobody was there to see it. I remember one time I was coming walking barefooted, and there was a rabbit, and I threw a rock at it and hit it in the head and killed it. And I looked around, and there wasn't nobody to witness it. And nobody would believe it. And David's thinking, you know, there's nobody here. Nobody's going to believe this. I killed this bear and this lion. It was after my sheep, my father's sheep. Nobody believed that. God did. Because one day he had to stand before Goliath out in front of everybody. And God remembered what that little faithful servant did back there on something little. With a little bitty small portion of God's sheep, and now all of God's sheep of Israel was at stake. God remembered what happened back there. David slew that giant right out there in front of everybody. God will do that with us, saints. He will do that with us. But we've got to go after those small things. We've got to tackle those things and get them. We have to overcome ourselves. Because when you overcome yourself, you're overcoming that part of the earth that you have, that has been committed to you. I can't change what Obama's doing. I can't change what Putin's doing or any of the rest of them. But God's given me the ability to change what I'm doing. And he's given you the ability to change what you're doing. And he wants to take that little seed that he sows in you, that you sow in doing that which is right with what he's committed to you. He wants to take that and make it grow into something that he can stand us before the entire universe. And before Obama, before Putin, before the whole world, to stand us there and say, this is my masterpiece, my second masterpiece. This is my bride.
Yes.
That's what he wants to do. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. So God bless you. We'll let you be dismissed as Brother Tim gets us another song. Just remember to pray for each other. I forgot to pray that prayer request there for Louise down in Mexico, but you pray over that situation. I'm expecting to hear something back on that. That those people are precious. And I know we probably met him while we were there, this brother. I don't know him by face. But I just pray that God will destroy that the enemy's trying to do there against that man and protect him and his family and the whole process. So you pray with me on that. God bless you. You're dismissed.